This episode of TechPod is brought to you by Thwack. Don't miss their final mission of 2024, Thwack Wrapped. The year is almost over, but before we power down, it's time to take on the ultimate challenge. Test your skills with their toughest questions from the year, and you could win amazing prizes. And of course, those all-important internet points. Think you've got what it takes? Head over to Thwack now and finish the year on a high note.
Welcome to SolarWinds Tech Pod. I'm your host, Crystal Taylor, and with me as always is my co-host, Sean Sebring.
Hello.
Today, we have a very fun episode planned with our regular guest, Andy Garibay. Andy, will you introduce yourself for anyone who's new?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me again. My name is Andy Garibay. I work with Sean and Crystal. Quickly, I host another podcast under the SolarWinds umbrella called Movies and Mainframes, where we explore and discuss the representation of technology and media. It's a fun one, and Sean and Crystal have been regular guests on that podcast, so check it out if you like movies, television shows, and being silly.
And I'm biased, but it is super fun to do also, so I hope we get to keep doing it. But today, our topic is, we tend to, around the holidays, do something fun about technology, you know, tech in the world, gifts maybe. And this year, we decided we're going to do a tech ghosts of future and past. I think that is going to be kind of the fun, like Christmas, you got the ghost of the past and the present and the future. And I think we can have a good time doing some tech fun. I did have some fun Googling things in preparation for this. Things that I forgot existed ever, and things that I forgot were announced and then never came out. Also, that were like super exciting at the time and then never happened. So
no, I'm so excited.
Yeah. Who wants to kick us off?
You've got mail. There's a piece of technology trash, and I'm not judging AOL. I just meant literally there have been so many jokes about the amount of trash it generated, the number of CD and pamphlets that came with your internet discs from America Online.
Yeah, it even generated a Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan movie, speaking of trash.
Oh, we could talk about that on Movies and Mainframes next. Yeah. So
it's recognizable to like an entire generation of people also.
Yeah, only a specific generation, it seems like, as well. Like, maybe I'll spoil into someone else's tech, but like the cassette tapes. I've seen younger generations be handed a cassette tape and say, where do I plug in the headphones? Right? And so it's like, it was just one of those things where the internet, yeah, used to be activated by a disc, something called a CD. Oh, you don't know what that is either. Okay, here we go. Right? So it's just a whirlwind of, wow, that one was such a niche part of an emerging and just irreplaceable technology today, right? Internet.
Well, you know what's crazy to think about, because this just sparked my brain of like a philosophical conversation almost about tech, is that with the rapid rate of acceleration for innovation and new tech being invented constantly and consistently, like the eras, like where you're saying like a specific age of people for that, like they're getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't even surprise me if in like 2 years, that will be like TikTok, because some new thing will have been invented. And it's like, it's just those windows are getting smaller and smaller. And before you know it's going to be like 2 years later and no one has any idea what that is anymore.
Exactly.
You know what else is neat about it to me, though, is with AOL and same thing with phone provider services, they were metered. And we've kind of gone in a rotation where when they started, it was metered because they thought about how can we continue to make revenue off of this. Right? We can't just sell it one time and then we're done. And then it switched to here's your flat service fee. And a lot of things now are switching back to metered in a sense. So it's and SaaS is kind of a similar example of that. It's not quite metered, but it's a continual subscription model where it's like the companies have acknowledged like we have to have a way to just keep you paying us, right? So
yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with it. It's just interesting because, again, watching part of how those services were introduced and then evolved and are still evolving. Now I think about the metering, like there were so many commercials around there that was 10 cents a minute, you know, that kind of thing. Or is just talking about the metering was the sell. It wasn't the service itself. It was how affordable is our metering of the service.
Yeah, that's crazy to think about. You brought up cassettes and CDs, right? Because AOL will come on discs, which we have. Still, there are still people that work at SolarWinds that have the SolarWinds discs. So we certainly also were not immune to that that era of time. But like, speaking of discs, y'all remember HD DVDs?
It was like the between of a DVD and Blu-ray.
No, they were out at the same time, Sean. And I know this because I worked at Best Buy at the time when this happened. Blu-ray won the fight is what happened for popularity. Enough things, they got enough other things on board that adopted Blu-ray, like PlayStation, and that did like an integration. So you could play Blu-rays on your PlayStation, but you couldn't play HD DVDs on your PlayStation. So it was actually less expensive for most people to buy Blu-rays.
It had to do with the laser, right?
Yeah, they're a sort of laser disc. But yeah, but I worked at Best Buy whenever this whole battle was happening. And it was quite memorable to watch like the merchandise. It was like half of the aisle was Blu-ray and half of the aisle was HD DVD. And then you just watch the HD DVD side get smaller and smaller until it disappeared. And then it was just gone.
I was going to say the only reason I think Blu-ray won out is because honestly, PlayStation integrated it into their system, where at the time, Xbox and Microsoft were leaning heavily on HD DVD, but it wasn't integrated into the Xbox. You had to buy an external drive for it. And I will say, though, I feel I'm glad Blu-ray won out, because it was one of the few times where you have these dueling technologies, and depending on, you know, the adult entertainment industry, whatever they latch onto, is always the winner. And because back in the day, whenever it was VHS and beta was clearly the superior format, but VHS won out because it was slightly cheaper and longer record times and things like that, which was more important. And so I was really glad that Blu-ray won out, because as far as I can't remember the specs of HD DVD, but I believe Blu-ray was just a little bit more, like you had a little bit more storage space and better read and write time. So, yay, the right one won.
One thing I love about it, too, and this irritates the I'll say OCD in the wrong way, but people will know what I mean when I'm talking about lining my shelves with my DVDs and Blu-rays is, for some reason, Blu-ray adopted a different size case, and obviously, thinner and shorter, which I appreciate, actually, because why do I need this massive box for just a thin CD? And then also they were blue, right? Most of the cases were blue. And another one that's current, it's hilarious to me. I love the Nintendo Switch because I get to play games with my kids, but their cartridges are the size of a large thumb, which is a weird descriptor, but bear with me, because the case itself is the size of a small book. And I'm just like, why do I need this massive plastic case for something that is nearly the size of my thumb?
Exactly. And you're not even getting what you used to get, which was like a really cool instruction manual with like artwork and stuff. Like if you were still getting that,
I would be
totally down with, because I really, in the past 2 or 3 years, really gotten back into physical media. I bit hard like everybody else, like streaming's the future. Yay, I'm going to get it all digital. And then, streaming services take stuff off. Even their own content made specifically for their platforms, it's no longer there anymore. So now I've gone full blown into, and in fact, while we're talking, I do physical media, but I'm so lazy, I don't want to get up and get a thing. So I am in the process of redigitizing everything and creating. There's stacks of Blu-rays here that I'm ripping and putting on my own media server. And then I'm actually running it through, because now the files are way too big. And so I'm running it through a compression software. So anyways, yeah.
Well, Andy, if I didn't think you were a nerd before,
yeah,
my goodness.
When it
comes to games, movies, music, huge nerd. When it comes to computers, I can Google, you know, so that's about it.
I also, for Nintendo only, prefer physical media. I still, in most cases, will buy the little cartridge, and I have all those. But you mentioned the booklets, Andy, and I don't want to derail us too hard, but all I can think about is when it was like original Nintendo and Super Nintendo games, and even GameCube, some of them had like, there was like a story in there. It wasn't just like, these are the controls. It was like, there's like backstory for the game, especially
whole lore.
Especially in the earlier days when they didn't have like audio beyond the like bit sounds that that they had. They didn't really have like, there's no voiceover, there's no anything like that, so they set all the lore in the books. I actually do miss that. That's not like really technology, I guess, but I miss that a lot.
Hear me out, because I'm nostalgia vibing so hard right now, because a present technology, the internet, has actually stripped away the need for a lot of those things. And that's why they don't do it anymore. Like, I remember the days of going to a GameStop or another game store as a teenager and just being overwhelmed with all of the right stimulation for a gamer. Like, oh, there's magazines, there's walkthrough books, right? Stuff, because you couldn't just Google it. You had to like do gamer research in a gamer place, which was a store like that. And so, yeah, it's cool and not cool at the same time, because the mystery of games kind of have gone down with the available information on the internet. But I remember the days of having to crawl through libraries in a game store to find secrets and answers to games, which could just be lore, like you said, at the start of opening the case for the first time.
But also Easter eggs.
Yeah, Easter eggs. Yeah, so much, so much.
Yeah, but that... For me, that's one of the biggest things I miss about technology from the past. And everything I miss about old technology, I'm not saying I want to go back to it. It's that double-edged sword. But I do miss the tactile pleasure of old technology. I miss buttons, especially like on Walkmans, boomboxes, feeling that click. I miss having a cassette and sliding it in, you know, or a 3.5-inch floppy disks, engaging it in the lever. Like, everything had a procedure and a method and a satisfying click and sound and feel to it, and even a smell. I remember opening those disk trays for your 3.5-inch floppies, and you get that waft of that very distinct plastic smell. And that's the biggest thing I miss about old technology, is just the tactile physical pleasure of having it and interacting with it physically.
If you think about it, psychologically, it makes a lot of sense, because the more senses that you add to it, this is why we're so nostalgic for all of this stuff, is because you have more senses attached to it. When you just have digital media, you have like, I mean, it's all sight, right? Everything is you're looking at it, but like, you don't have, this is why I also prefer physical books. Like, I mean, you can see in my background, I've got a whole bunch of books. I prefer physical books over digital books. It doesn't mean that I don't enjoy or read them, but I prefer physical ones because I like to hold it in my hands. I like to smell the pages of the book. I think the same thing is true for anything else, right? Like, there's a reason why pinball machines were so prolific and like popular for a long time, and why almost nobody plays digital pinball. It doesn't have the same, like, you don't get the same sensations from it. And it's, so you don't have the pleasure centers on it. I think that that's a big thing in technology, is that we're stripping away the humanity aspects of things, right? Like, not to say that I'm against things evolving, because I'm certainly not, but like, we are losing some of those things that, like, people aren't going to be as nostalgic for things like we are. We have this, we're in this like perfect niche in between, like, while technology was coming up age-wise. Like, while technology was coming up, that we have the experience of like all of it, where we, when it was more tactile and when it was more sensational in that way, right? Where you had more attachment to it, and where you didn't, you know, things cost more in a way. And like, you didn't have permission, because the adults of my youth were terrified that we were all going to become violent serial killers with our video games and like all of this stuff, right? Or like, I lived in the country, so the only internet we could have was satellite internet, and it was garbage. So we could never play any online games. You couldn't experience the internet as much. And so like, the way that we experience the growth of technology means that we have a different level of nostalgia than today's kids are going to have for their technology. That's what I think. I think they're not going to have the same attachment to it, because they don't have all the tactile sensations.
I have one comment on it, and then we can pick another topic here. That is, Windows 98's pinball saved me in the boredom of my summer. because that was a digital pinball, but it was free. It was on Windows 98. Mm-hmm. And it was probably my favorite pinball game. But it's cool also to your point, because there's so many, especially in the Austin area, which is where I'm from, Austin, Texas. There's so many pinball arcades, and it didn't die. It did not. It slept for a while.
It's flourishing. Well,
yeah. But it has come back hard. People do miss it. You're right.
There's a company, and I'm never going to bite the bullet. The price point is, I can't justify the price point, but there's this company that makes pinballs that you can change the wrappers on. So basically you just buy this pinball machine, and then you can go into their store and you can buy all the customization and wrappers for it. So it's like, oh, do you want a space game? Cool. Then they'll send you all of the poster and artwork to put in the machine, like it's a template. And they give you a USB stick that has all the sound effects and everything to load up, and like all the, you know, all that stuff. And then they make partnerships and all this kind of stuff, and they have different ones. And I almost considered it, because they partnered up when Weird Al made that movie Weird. They had a Weird Al pinball, and I was like,
I kind of want that.
No, I want it real bad, but I can't. No, you know, so.
Well, speaking of things that like we miss from that era, and this is a little, it's still a bit in the gaming sphere, but I'm going to expand it beyond that. Is there were all kinds of things that we grew up with that we have now lost out on. Like, we're still social to an extent with gaming and with the internet, but it's like, there's a separation, right? Like, that's why people are horrible on the internet all the time, is because I'm not a real person. Like, I can be a whoever. There's some a level of dissociation with your internet persona. And something that I think that we miss out on is that, because we don't have LAN parties and internet cafes. I mean, people go to Starbucks, but that doesn't count. Internet cafes and like all of these buildings, arcades that you had to like physically go to. You had to go to the library to use a computer and use the internet. So it forced you to be around other people. And I think that we're sort of missing out on that now, where we don't spend time. Like, I had a LAN party like a year ago with a friend of mine. I just invited him over. He brought his laptop. He sat in the same room with me and we played a game together. And it was like the best time. We were still playing online, but we were still like together in person. And I was like, I really miss like the social aspect. Like, the social aspect we have evolved into with the internet and with gaming online and all of that now is like so different, because like I said, you're like almost dissociated from your internet personality for most people. Like, they're not attached to it. You don't know those people the same way than if you were doing it in person. So I do also miss that.
Do you miss the Zune?
I miss Zune. You know what? My cousin had a Zune when everyone else had iPods and whatever else, and he freaking loved it.
It was a great piece of tech. It just didn't have the right place in the market. One of my favorite things about it recently was in Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. He gets a Zune, right? And it was such a cool nod to a ancient piece of technology that still had such great value. Because to him, he was rocking the cassette. He had his finite few songs. And then he gets the Zune and he's like, oh, an unlimited library of music. And at its time, like, it took the MP3 player and blew it out of the water. Like, it was, it missed barely. But yeah, the iPod definitely did take over the market there, and could have been a marketing reason, could have been because they'd already had people with the phones. And so they were like, let's just keep them buying in, drinking the Kool-Aid. But yeah, the Zune was an interesting piece of tech that just didn't make it. And it wasn't because it wasn't a good piece of tech.
No, I think it completely failed just because of marketing. Cause I was aware of all the formats at the time. And honestly, like, I just remember it was like it was trying too hard. It wasn't cool. You know what? That was the vibe I got from Zune at the time, as the marketing. Like, hey, fellow kids, do you like music? Like, oh, bro, come on. But speaking of the Zune, that's another thing I miss about, again, not saying I want to go back to it, but back in the day, devoted technology, where you had a device that did a certain thing, the end period. So I had a music player, I had a video game machine, I had, you know, something that played movies, and now everybody has everything in their pocket right now with the phone. Yeah. You know, you have a camera, you have your everything. And I know it's completely on me. It's a problem of willpower and focus and concentration, but I easily get distracted. And sometimes I have choice paralysis and everything, which is a real thing, but you know, it's stupid. It's on me, but I do miss the focus and, you know, like I am going to do this now and I cannot be distracted because if I'm playing on my Sega Game Gear, I can't get on the internet. If I'm watching a movie off this particular device or something like that, I can't just all of a sudden, you know, go do something else. But I do miss devoted technology. And I also miss, because of that devoted technology, all those accessories you bought growing up.
Oh, that was fun. That was fun.
I don't know. Again, it goes into that procedure and methodology of what you're going to do. You have to get everything just right. Like I'm going to read a book and it's at night. So I have that stupid, you know, War of the Worlds telescoping arm light and everything. And my drink's just in the, or I'm playing my Game Boy with the magnifying. The magnifying screen or, you know, all those little accessories that they just marketed to you that you had, you know, you didn't have to buy it, but you're like, oh, but I want to be cool. You know, I miss all those little things. Everything had its own little satchel.
Let's call them aftermarket products, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Aftermarket for your car, but for your N64, Game Boy. And Nintendo was amazing at it.
You're right, the Game best. Boy.
The because before they had the backlit screens, it was the magnifying lens with the lights that displayed on it. And then it
Which
could have additional
didn't
like,
help much, let's be real.
Hey. It was the prestige, as Andy said.
Yeah. They also had this whole sleeve that you could fit it into. So you had bigger thumbsticks. And so like the thing would be this huge abomination and you didn't even recognize it anymore. And it was like, what are you playing? Yeah.
I miss it, but also I don't miss it. Like the things that I miss about a lot kind of focused technology where like now everything wants to be everything. And this is true in gaming and in technology, right? Like look at Twitter, the everything app now, right? Like everybody's trying to do too many things. And so they never do the one thing well. Like the benefit of focusing like that is you can do one thing, maybe two things, like really, really well. And when you try to do everything, it's just like you spread your peanut butter on your bread too thin. Like it's something's got to give and there's problems there. But I don't miss spending money on a bunch of different technology pieces to get the one thing I wanted either. So like, you know,
to
it's
Andy's
a give and
point,
take.
Though, what if it was mom and dad's money? Because
well, yeah, that's true.
Know,
which meant we never got it. We had to share almost everything growing up. So like,
yeah. But you know what? You mentioned something earlier, Crystal, and that is the price point on these things. It doesn't apply to all technologies, but I was thinking about it when I used to have to save my allowances, right, and buy my own stuff because my parents did try and make me as often as possible pay for my own hobbies. And I remember having to buy one of the banana controllers for the N64. That thing was $34. And this was two decades ago, I want to say.
Don't tell
me
yourself
exactly
too hard.
How long. Oh my gosh. It's just creepy the amount of time it's been. But anyway, I was recently in Austin in Texas and I was visiting with my best friend and we needed another controller so that I could play with him and his son. Not the N64, but for the Switch. And we got one for $25. And I'm like, man, 20 years ago, this controller costs more than getting a controller for a console now. So like, it's weird how some things are more expensive, but some things stayed the same. And I think it has to do with a lot of like DLCs and microtransactions where they can throw in revenue generation elsewhere. But it just made me appreciate that physical part of the technology didn't skyrocket as much as it could have.
Well, talk to PlayStation. $75 for a controller, busters.
They are really excellent controllers, though.
Oh, they're the best. Ooh, the haptic response. Yeah, no, I love it, but oh, God.
Yeah, we were just talking about that the other day, about the haptic response and the controllers, and I was talking about how far technology has come in gaming controllers. I was going to write a blog about it when it first came out, and I never did, but I just think that controller is like peak controller technology still. I haven't met a controller that I like more than the PS5 controller, like the current controller is just incredible. incredible technology.
Agreed.
So does it like tase you when you get injured? Like, we're talking haptic responses here.
No, so the triggers do different things depending on how much you pull them. So there's like a half trigger response, a full trigger response, and then like a partial trigger response. So depending on that, the game is coded. It's so cool.
When I press W on the keyboard, I expect to walk forward without any effort, you know, like, and you guys know I'm talking about that WASD. All right. That's your movement keys.
Yeah.
Okay.
So one thing I always hated growing up, and I'm glad it never became the norm, is trackball mouses.
Oh,
with the track next to your thumb.
They still exist, though, Andy.
I know. That was the thing. I thought they had gone the way of the dodo because I haven't seen one in the wild in like 25 years. Like, legit, haven't seen one in the wild. And whenever I was, you can get one at Target. I guess I just have blinders to it. But that was one thing I looked at back in the day. And I was like, that's super cool. That is the future. And I tried it. And after 10 seconds, I was like, nope, absolutely not. I hate this thing.
Yeah, no.
And I'm, like I said, so glad that didn't catch on because I know it's my fault. I just can't get used to it or I don't have the dexterity, but no.
There
I want my whole arm and shoulder into it. So
there's a certain caliber of person, though, that still loves those things. My best friend, not that long ago, switched back to a trackball mouse, and he's like the happiest person ever. He's like, this thing is great. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's not for me either.
What about the rubber-coated metal mouse balls that used to have to clean the inside of the mouse with alcohol and
disgusting.
Cotton swab? Yeah, that's something. I'm like, why is the mouse not moving the way I want? And you look inside and you're like, oh God, there's a whole cat in there. Like, you know, it just.
And that cat is made of me. Yeah, it's disgusting.
We'll just leave it there. But still, thank God for the laser, right?
But there was something satisfying of getting all that hair and lint off that roller.
It was a relationship with your technology. It wasn't just do the thing I'm supposed to, I bought you for, right? Instead, it was a give and take of do the thing I bought you for, but every now and then I have to take care of you too, right?
Yeah.
And now we are just like, no, if it doesn't do what I want, I'll get a new one.
Yeah.
So
you're trash.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and classic prank of just taking the ball out, you know, up to your coworker's mouse and watching them
prank.
Like, hey, time.
What? You still get the old tape on the laser.
Tape on the laser,
Man, pranks have gone away too. This politically correct universe is a little more boring.
All right, but, Bill Maher.
Oh, man.
One thing that I think is finally dying out, because I haven't been asked by a random government agency or doctor's office in, I think it's been 5 years. Fax machines, goodbye.
Yeah.
Rot in hell. I'm so glad those are going away. Never cared for them. They always suck. The quality's terrible. You never dial the right number. And when you do, it's always busy. And I can't believe it would be 2020, 2019, and I would still get the random doctor's office of, just fax it to us. And it's like, what? Oh, you're serious? Like, man, are you kidding me? Like, I'll take a picture of it and I'll send it to you. How about that? No, we gotta have a fax because
it's more secure somehow. Yeah, you know.
Although that requirement did force me to learn about e-fax. And the fact that someone tried to bridge that gap, of course, all those services cost money. But I did actually work a job where we were required to fax things back and forth to like the home office because we did financing in the store. I worked at a furniture store. We did financing in the store. So you'd have to fax them like specific paperwork over to the office, the home office, where they would then do the like credit checks and stuff like that because we did our own financing. And I was like, I should have never had to work a job where I had to use a fax machine. I already think it was too late at that point, but it definitely did. And I don't miss fax machines either.
In 2018, I was with a role I had prior to working with SolarWinds. That was one of my three epic projects was migrating an insurance company, which had to still use fax to the e-fax. And migrating the technology wasn't so hard. It was the people who were addicted to fax that was the hard part at the office, right? Like the process, and you mentioned this same process, Andy, in talking about getting your physical media redigitizing. That's exactly what would happen with the e-faxes, is they would get the fax, print it out, right? Or get a physical copy, write on it, then scan it back in to upload it. And I'm like, you just created so many more steps than if you left it on the computer. Like, leave it on the computer and draw in PDF, right? Like, you don't have to print it out, write on it, and then put it back in the computer. Like, it's just bizarre because, this is the way we've always done it. And it made sense, right? Their physical relationship with it. They're like, but if I can't write on it, how can I write on it? And I'm like, it lives in the computer. it's funny.
If I can't write on it, how can I write on it? That's a quality user error right there.
Yeah. I just picture him getting a marker on the screen like, well, okay, he said to. So
oh, man. I just saw another one in this list that I'm looking at that I forgot completely existed because I was never going to be able to afford it or want to. 3D TVs.
Oh.
Guilty. Had one.
Did you? Was it good? Because my problem with 3D, to this day, I still have a hard time going to a 3D movie because I never feel like they do enough. The only movie I think I saw that I felt like was good to watch in 3D was the first Avatar movie, which I thought was super cool.
I completely agree. I don't like that movie, but from a technology standpoint, it was insanely impressive.
Jungle.
And still the best representation of 3D I've ever seen. And not weird, but the 3D Blu-ray of that is still the best version of that. So it really just all came down to how did the movie play? What technology did they use whenever they made the film? And that directly translated to the 3D TV. So if it was 3D was done in post, looked like garbage in the movie theater and on your 3D TV. If it was shot specifically knowing it was going to be in 3D, it looked pretty good. And it was fun, but it was a gimmick.
Yeah. It didn't last very long.
I still have like a handful of the 3D Blu-rays, like, you know, Captain America, you know, the first Avenger or whatever.
I didn't even know that one had a 3D option.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I had one for a while because I remember thinking, oh, that's stupid. But then the minute we were in the market for a new TV, there was like a sale and it was like, oh, it's only $200 more than if we got a nice, you know, whatever Samsung. So we bought it and it was, it was fun. It made movie nights a thing, you know. But overall, yeah, the gimmick wore out real quick. Thankfully, it was just a good TV without the 3D, you know, stupid feature.
I will say that during that like 5 years or whatever where they were trying to do it in movie theaters also, that it did make a fun game for me where I didn't go see it in the 3D version. I'd go see the regular version and then do this. What parts are in 3D? And so then I would start to like, oh, that guy's pointing at the screen. That's in 3D.
Exactly.
Or, oh, there's this thing that got really close. Like, that's for sure in 3D.
With no validation, just Crystal in her own head playing a guessing game of what did they try.
I just picture you in the theater just yelling it out. That's supposed to be in 3D.
No, never talk in the theater.
I like the way you said it, though. Like, it reminded me of Mean Girls. Stop trying to make fetch happen. Like, stop trying to make 3D happen. Like,
you know,
I think it'll come back.
I think it'll come back. If they had done it, I think it's come back in a different way, right? Like we're moving into the AR and VR situation. So I think it's evolved to something different than what the 3D initially was. But I will say that like I thought it was cool until I saw two different movies and like Avatar was cool. So then I was like, I'll give 3D movies another chance. And I saw like two or three other 3D movies and I was like, terrible. Don't want to do that. By the end of the movie, you have a headache from the stupid glasses being on your face. And then like, you know, I saw the Alice in Wonderland live action. And that was one of those ones where it was like a butterfly would be in 3D. And then like 90% of the movie wasn't in 3D. There were just after effects occasionally. and was 100% not worth it to me. It wasn't worth the headache. It wasn't worth the price. And so I think I fell off the gimmick super fast because I was just like, the only cool thing they've done is that one Avatar movie, because especially in the like jungle scenes, because all the plants, when glowy and stuff, it's like you're walking in there.
Or in like the black light effect they had. It's just such a beautiful movie.
Which
also blows me away that how is the second one less pretty 13 years later with more technology?
You know what though? I don't know if you've looked into it, but like looking into the technology of how they made like the saddle be wet and stuff like that it's advanced quite a lot. So if you take a bit of time and like look into it, it's really interesting.
Yeah, it just didn't have the same mystery, but I still think the faces is what got to me. The faces in the second one just didn't seem like they were as polished as the first. And I'm like, we're 13 years later, guys. What happened? And on that note, what blows my mind is the T-Rex in Jurassic Park
still looks amazing.
Still one of the best CGI things I've ever
seen. It's practical effects. The T-Rex was practical effects. And I think that is incredible that it still looks so good after all this time, considering it was a giant animatronic T-Rex that they had to like moisturize and stuff.
But we can't get Henry Cavill's upper lip correct in Superman. So let's just stick with dinosaurs instead of someone's lip just can't have a mustache in this scene.
Yeah, I think that's a studio problem, not a
No, fair. I'm just like, come on. Anyway, had to bring it up.
Yeah.
Huge fan, but quite disappointed in some things that went down or didn't, however you look at it.
Let's branch over from 3D televisions and everything. Another old technology that don't ever want to see again is just non-HD signal and CRTs. I work in video production, so I have the opportunity to hook up that equipment, you know, just like an old DVD player to a CRT. And, you know, where it's even top of the line of the day, like I'm rocking 480p. It's progressive screen. It's not interlaced. And I'm watching this stuff and it's like, oh my God, like we're just watching everything through a layer of scum. I just can't believe that you go back and you watch our old setups and it's like, how did, you know, it's just that, you know, from a super place of privilege of just like, how did we survive? How did we watch media? And to think that setup was far superior to our parents' setup and everything like that. It's nuts how far it's come.
It's nuts how far it's come in our lifetime.
20 years, or less than 20 years. To HD switched over 2009 at the television station I was working at the time. 2009. It's not that long ago. So that's crazy.
The physical weight of those things can also go bite it, because I remember having to move into an apartment throughout my 20s, and like I would have to have friends come help me move a 32-inch, right? And now I can probably not wise, I could walk a 60-inch flat screen by myself into my house, right? Piece of cake.
It's too big.
Okay, the point is like oh my gosh. And there's squares. It's not easy to move. If it was even more rectangular shaped, it'd be easier for a friend to help out, but a square is just...
I know, but like
surprisingly...
Even that was better than our parents' time. My parents still had a TV that was in that wooden box, and trying to move that anywhere, I don't know how they got it in the house.
I had one until I moved to Ireland. I actually left it in the States and let the new people taking over the house, and they became their problem. It was really cool and I had planned to do stuff with it, but
it lives here forever.
It might be just part of the foundation at this point.
You know what? They're strong. It could hold up a load bearing wall. TVs these days could never.
Since I did have it throughout my 20s, I would only use it as a shelf for my new TV, or because it was so big, or to play my old systems on, because I had the red, yellow, and white hookups, and it had those new TVs didn't. So I would play my Super Nintendo on there, my N64. And so I used the old TV for the old video game systems and then the new ones for the new ones. And but it was just fun because, again, it hit all of those nostalgic marks where there's the heat coming off of the TV too.
after a certain point, right? It was just, it was cool.
Yeah. But those things would heat up your room. So much space. That's a technology. Just go away. So mm-hmm. glad it's evolved. But it is funny though. Like I've seen it on like a lot of Switch games, you know, you download these old classics and they even have the CRT filter
to make it look grainier. Yeah.
Yeah. And it'll just, you know, just make everything look like how it would. And I think that's pretty funny. Like,
that is funny. When they re-released World of Warcraft Classic, they had the option to say, do you want to keep the terrible graphics that came out in 2004? And I did for a while. I did. I was like, all right, let me check it out. I'm like, oh, wow. Look at he's got square fingers. Like, this is ringing my nostalgic bell there. And then, it's odd what some people will do, including myself, just to kind of try and taste that experience that I had 20 years ago.
Hell yeah.
Well, I think that covers past pretty well. We could do one last question of, is there any past technology that you want to come back?
I do want some form of the disc to come back. I don't understand why that didn't evolve like everything else. I know it went to CDs and everything, but I wish the same way you plugged in a 3.5-inch floppy back in the day, like, why don't I have an M2 reader? Whereas same thing, it's just like a swap. And maybe there is, and I just haven't done the research or anything, but like, I want a tray of like M2 drives or something where it's like, boop, and then I got 2 terabytes of storage information processes all loaded up onto that drive, and I could put it in like a stick.
Yeah.
Because cartridges for me were always superior than CDs back then. I was actually never a fan of a CD. I'll take a cassette tape, I'll take a cartridge, I'll take anything besides a CD because they always felt janky, unless it was the kind of reader that it would suck it in. Like those, but the disc tray always, you know, it would rattle. It was just like, this sucks. I hate it. And you have to be delicate with I can't put my thumbprints on it, you know, so sensitive.
Yeah. Can't get a single scratch. I think because of like physical security concerns, we may never go back to that. Like to having a physical plug-in, like for computers anyway, because there's too much risk.
So you're talking about wetware, maybe? I can have an installation for that.
I'm going to be one of the first suckers who opts for it. Like, I don't care. You know, I already feel like someone's controlling me anyway. So I'm like, whatever. Something I don't want to come back, but I actually do, is big, flashy, gaudy boom boxes. Like, I missed going to Best Buy and be like, that boom box looks awesome. Like, unnecessarily large speakers. They were cool looking. They had, you know, different shapes that were literally just for design. And I'm like, I have a tiny little Google Home, which will take care of my sound needs for the most part. But what if I had really cool rock star looking boom box that did the same thing? Like, it had my Google Home in it. Sure, that's fine. But like, I just missed the appeal of having the big speakers that you could make remote if you wanted to. I remember being in high school and my dad gave me an allowance to get one. And I was like, this thing is so cool. And I used to split, you remember we were just talking about the red, yellow, white. I would put my audio through my boom box and the video just on the TV just to like enhance it even further, right? It's kind of an accessory thing, but I don't really see a need to come back, but just for something, since we're talking about the ghosts of the past, like, oh, that was so cool.
I feel like it might be a little expensive to do, but you totally could like amalgamate some speakers and stuff, 3D printing to make a cool framing. It's not the same.
See, I can't even spell that word, so we're not doing this.
Well, you'll be happy to know they still make boom boxes.
Do they?
And yes, and they actually make boom boxes, but instead of a tape cassette player, it is now a place to put your phone. So it all works Bluetooth and everything like that, but it looks like a classic ghetto blaster boom box. But then you open up the cassette player and it's like, oh, I can hold my phone in there.
I know what Sean's putting on his wish list for Christmas.
I actually have a record console cabinet and it's got an issue right now, and finding parts and capacitors and things like that are getting harder and harder because the thing was made in 1969. But I miss it so bad. It's developed this really bad hum in the audio. And I'm actually about to take it to a guy who's going to future-proof it. He's going to rip out the guts, but keep the look. And like all the panels and dials and knobs will still work and look the same, but the electronics are going to be new.
That's cool.
And he's, you know, putting like a Bluetooth module in there and new speakers and everything. And so, So it's the marriage of both of, I got new technology, but I still have all my buttons and knobs and everything.
You need a vanity disc so that when you cast Bluetooth, it still spins as if it's playing a record of some kind. You need a vanity disc. Maybe put some LEDs on it. Who knows?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I like that a lot. I can't think of a single past technology that I'm like, I really want that to exist again. Like, I'm nostalgic for stuff like old games and things like that, but there's too many. We have filled those technology gaps by finding ways to still play old games and things like that. So I don't know. I definitely don't miss like the N64 controller. That's the worst controller I think I've ever used in my life.
Agreed.
The banana controller?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Why is there a third handle? Why?
No, none of these games use the D-pad. Come on.
Who has three hands? I don't understand. So I can't think of anything that like, I mean, there's definitely stuff that I'm nostalgic for sure. But I don't like, I'm not like, I jonesing for it to come back. I do like the idea of like facelifting, or not facelifting. I guess it would be the reverse of a facelift. You keep the face same and you change all the guts to something new. So
face dropping? No, this isn't going well. Never mind.
I can't think of what it would be called, but like a reverse facelift where your face is still the same, but everything else is being tuned up.
I'm curious, do y'all have an old technology that, you know, it's advanced since then, but you're like, no, this is what I just still prefer this method. Like, for instance, like film cameras or something, you know, that people, do you have anything that like that in your life where it's like, oh, I could get this? Like Crystal, you mentioned books. Do you actually ever use a Kindle, or do you pretty much stick with physical books?
I read on my phone. Again, going back to the it does everything situation, I use a library app on my phone. So I'll read. Yeah. I don't buy digital books, though. I just check them out from the library, which if you didn't know, you can do that. Should do that.
Yeah, get Libby. Go to your local library.
Yes, get a library card and then just hook it up because it's great. And you can do audiobooks like that also. So for people who aren't physical or aren't into the actual reading. But no, I buy physical books and then I will, like I said, check books out from the library on my phone between other things. But like if I'm going to read something, I would much rather read a physical copy of the book. So I'm a little book dragon in my home for that.
Little book smaug.
Yeah, I do still like I prefer physical media still for Nintendo, but I do play a lot of digital games, like especially, I mean, I still have some old. I have like original Roller Coaster Tycoon disc and stuff for no reason. I can't use it, but I do still have like some older physical media, but I don't, which every once in a while I'll be like, I actually did do this. There's games from my childhood that I played on like physical discs. And then I went on Steam to see if they made a digitized version of it. And for me, there's the Civilization simulation games, Pharaoh and Caesar. And my sister and I were like absolutely obsessed with these games for like 2-3 years in high school. And I bought them again on Steam because I wanted to play.
No judgment.
So, you know,
not quite to your question, Andy, but I had been doing it until literally last night. So I finally got a new phone. I had a replacement phone I got in February, started to hate it to death, and just got a new Pixel. And I got it hooked up yesterday, but I had, you can judge me here, I have a phone wallet case where it's the folding kind. So yes, it adds 20 years to me.
Hard judging you right now. No.
Yeah. So I had to go to the store last night and I've got my new phone and I didn't bring my old one, which means I left my wallet. And I was like, oh crap. But cool thing about technology, it ports over the card information. You just need your 3-digit CVV code. And I was able to add it to Google Pay. And I had been avoiding any of the mobile payment options forever. It was so easy last night.
Dude, I was the same way. I avoided it forever. And then the minute I set it up, I was like, why? Whatever.
Like, you can do it with your watch, which I don't have one of those yet, but you can do it with your watch. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, as soon as they can wetware, I'm like, cool. Scan my retina. Take all my money, whatever.
Take all my money. Yeah, that's a good point. I like seeing how technology has evolved other things, too. Like, if you've been, I don't know if you've been to an amusement park recently, but, like, they have evolved the way that they do everything in the amusement parks. Like, for the better. So, like, we went to Universal Studios and Disney World a couple of years ago, my son and I, and we went to the Universal Studios water park. And at the water park, the first thing you do, like, before you even get into the park is you give them your, like, pass or whatever on your phone. They just scan it. But like they give you a watch band and it is tied to your ticket and you can attach a card to it and then it's waterproof. And then that's how you do everything in the park. So you put all your stuff in a locker. You don't have to go back to a locker and like get your wallet and like whatever else. Like you just use that watch band everywhere you go. And like your kids each have one. Everyone has one. So like it just, I'm like, this is the future of water parks. Like, this is incredible. We should be doing this all the time, everywhere. And I think that it's fun to see how it evolves. I mean, the other thing that's really cool, if you've ridden, they do almost, I guess, AR roller coasters now. So like there's the roller coaster that's inside the Hogwarts Castle is like that, where it's a bunch of movie screens. You're still on a roller coaster. Like you're physically on a roller coaster, but like you're in, it's an experience. And I think that those technological advances have been really fun to like experience and see. And I love being able to watch how, because, you know, we spend a lot of time in gaming and in tech, but like being able to go somewhere outside of that and going like, that's cool. I didn't think about using the technology for this thing. I love doing that. I think that's super cool.
Yeah, we just this past summer went to Universal Studios as well and did a Mario Kart ride, and that uses AR, and it was super cool. So it's not a roller coaster. It's one of those rides, you know, but it's taking you through all the environments of Mario Kart. But with the AR visor that you wear, that's where you're seeing the bad guys and shooting your turtle shells and leaving banana peels.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah, it was super fun. The kids were just like... You know, it was the best time ever. So,
yeah. And when we were kids, it was just our imagination that had to fill in those gaps.
Yeah. And my imagination sucks. So I want to see it with my eyeballs.
All right. Well, to kind of wrap up our conversation of, well, we've mostly been talking about past technology. What is there anything that exists in sci-fi or maybe is already being talked about or they're trying to get funding for or whatever, a piece of technology for the future that you want to exist as soon as possible?
Transport. I'm going with transport, and it could be a number of different ways. Futurama tubes look kind of unhygienic, but if you could just like, you know, shoot me across the city and I'm there, cool, that's awesome. Hover cars or some kind of flying tech. It was just funny because I was watching, oh gosh, what was it? I was watching Star Wars, the episode 2, and it's when they're in the city and there's literal traffic lines where the hover cars are in highways. And I'm like, you're in a 3-dimensional space now. We're not in 2D anymore. Like that didn't make any sense. And so like, don't do it like they did there. But like that could eliminate, again, a lot of traffic because like, you think about it, in the last just over 100 years, we can go anywhere we want on the planet now with ease. And so like if we took it one step further where it was even faster, more convenient, I would love that because no one likes traffic. What a waste of time.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much. I mean, if we're just going down the sci-fi list of things that I want, I do want like true self-driving technology or whatever, because I mean, now it's still like, oh, you have to pay attention and be aware and stuff. It's like, no, I want a full blown nap. I want to take some Ambien and be out Like, I don't need to see the countryside. But man, every other month you see some new little article or whatever. I want full blown nanobots. I'm tired of hearing about them. I want to go to the doctor and I get an injection and it cures whatever ailment. It, you know, brings back my bone density, makes my spine like super, you know, just whatever ailment. I want these nanobots to just get in my body, fix it, make me better, faster, stronger.
We have the technology.
Exactly. But every time I see every other month, like, oh, they programmed a nanobot to attack a cancer cell. Cool. Like,
cool. Get there faster.
Get it out there. Exactly. So I want nanobots. I want to live with them. I want them. Yeah.
The swarm is hanging out.
Yeah. There's just the swarm.
I love that.
How about you, Crystal?
My most wanted technology is the instant cooking things. Either like the Star Trek has it, where you just like push a button and it order whatever meal, and then it makes it happen somehow. It's like a molecular something or either, right? And then like or even like a Fifth Element style, like you just put in a like a pill or whatever, and then it's like a bucket of chicken, whatever. I don't ever want to cook again, is what I'm saying. I never want to cook again. I don't cook a lot now. I eat a lot of food from restaurants, which is terrible for me. But if I had, that's what I want. Although you guys had extremely good answers. I would take either of them. I would take any of it, honestly.
Oh, yeah. No, I want the Star Trek replicators so bad. I'm with you, Sean. I love cooking. It relaxes me. And I just like the preparation and everything. My wife hates cooking because it's the opposite for her. But honestly, Monday through Thursday, whenever everybody's working, the kids are in school. Absolutely. I want a food pill that I just put into something or a food replicator and just be done with it. But yeah, and then save, you know, the cooking for the weekends and stuff. But no, yeah, I would love to be Picard and just walking up to something and, you know, Earl Grey, hot. And then like, yeah, what's up? Let's do it. Speaking of Star Trek, I want a holodeck. Just want a full-blown holodeck. I want a devoted room. Get rid of my guest room that I have that's collecting dust.
Who needs guests?
Because nobody's coming to visit me. I want a holodeck. So that'd be dope.
That would be dope. Oh, man. There's so much cool technology in sci-fi. We could have probably an entire episode just talking about stuff we want from sci-fi. But that's for movies and mainframes.
Yeah, true.
that's for movies and mainframes. Is there anything else that you guys want to talk about before we wrap?
You mentioned it before, Crystal, that we, you know, because of our age, we have a perfect straddle of we existed without this technology for quite a long time. And now the technology's here. Is that one of the things that I constantly run into because of my age is I have to remind myself that, oh, wait, I do live in the future. I can do things like, for instance, I'm digitizing all this physical media I have for my own home server, talking to a friend about it because he's done the same thing and everything. And we were talking about exchanging movies. Like we printed out lists and everything. We're not printed. We emailed each other a list of our media for a little fun swap. And I was going to go visit him. And I was like, oh, you know what? I'll put those files on a USB stick and I'll bring them to you. And he was like, he's the same age as me. And he's like, oh, that sounds good. And then the minute I was looking for a USB stick, I was like, wait, what am I doing? It was like 2 hours later. I was like, what am I doing? I could just put this up on Drive and share the folder with them. And then he could have already had this. He could have already watched all the media that I wanted to give him. And I was like, oh, man. And so then I emailed him. I was like, hey, man, there's a Drive link for you. And so I constantly get into that headspace where I'm just like, oh, wait, no, I can do this instantaneously. I would be like one of the people you had to work with. I'm like, well, I have to print it out first, right? And then scan it. I can't just take it from the computer directly into some other interface. So I have to constantly remind myself, like, no, idiot, the future is here. You can do a lot of things that you know, you're just not thinking of that workflow or whatever it is.
I talk about that a lot in the context of like senior positions versus junior positions, and why it's beneficial to have both is because with your experience, because it's the same thing, right? With your experience that you've had, you go a certain place first. And the same thing is true for anybody who's troubleshooting something like at all, right? If you have a level of experience, you don't start at here. You start like 5-10 steps along because you're like, oh, I already would have. So it's like the same. It's like it's biased based on your experience.
Oh, I think that's so true and relevant in workplaces, in government politics, which we can't go down that road at all.
No.
Let's do it.
Episode 2.
We're all fired.
You're so right though, Crystal. And like, that's where open-mindedness comes in, and we should be eager to like see what other people think, because Andy, I'm the same way with other stuff too. Like, I won't even have considered that there's like, and it's something that I already do for something else, but I didn't think to use that exact same technology for this purpose.
Exactly.
Like you said, I feel like an idiot. Sometimes I'm like, duh, like literally just duh. The future is here. It's bizarre to be in it. And just to think that 20 years ago, they were also like, the future is here. It's like, when is the future going to give you a break? And like, things will just chill for a second.
I'm so proud of my dad. He just this week, 2 days ago, got rid of his landline.
Oh, good job.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm very proud. At like 75 years old, finally decided like, you know what? I don't need this thing that nobody calls me on.
Yeah, that I've been paying for.
Exactly. But then I had a conversation with him over the phone of like, okay, so because he still has doctor's offices that want faxes.
Oh.
And, you know, because of his age, he's going to the doctor a lot and everything like that. So it's very important. He's like, I need you to show me how this works. And so I showed him document scan that's already built into the photo app on the camera app on his phone. And so he was like, oh, I always wondered what that thing was. And I told him, like, if you see a button on your, just press it, like, figure it out, you know, just be curious. And sure enough, that little document icon would show up if you on certain, you know, you're going to take a picture. And it's like, yeah, it's a document scan, hit it and it'll create JPEG, PDF, whatever. And then you can send it. And he's like, oh, okay. You know, clicked with them. So
love it.
But yeah, finally got rid of the landline. And then I shed a single tear because that was the house I grew up in. And that phone number is just
ingrained in your memory. Yeah.
Like tears in the rain.
I still remember my home phone number, like from when I was a kid. Never forget it.
Oh, yeah. I still remember my core friend group, too. I can still rattle off their 4 phone home numbers, home phone numbers. Because, yeah, just all the time.
All the time. Man, I guess the moral of this story is go check stuff out. Like, people are doing cool stuff with technology all the time. So, like, be open to experiencing new things. I really do like going outside my normal box to see how people are being creative with technology and other places. Like, I talked about the amusement park example. But, like, I think that we should always be curious and always be learning. And that's all we can do. Just constantly keep learning.
Words to live by.
You've made that crystal clear.
Thanks.
Throughout all of our episodes.
Thanks, Sean. Thanks. And I'll leave on that now.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Andy, for joining us. We enjoyed talking about this. I can tell we all had a good time. So.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Always love coming and talking.
Great to have you, Andy.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us. Be sure to rate and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you listen on thwack.com, you can leave us some comments about your favorite nostalgic technology that you wish would come back or you hope never does. We'd love to hear it.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.